There's not really much of a recap that we need here. It was, we were, if you think about what was happening in the last at the last study, that Israel was still just pursuing the wind, as it says here in my Bible. They were still doing, they were still not focused on the Lord, and they were still continuing in their sin. And so as we begin reading in chapter 13, it's pretty much the same thing. So they're still continuing in their sins. So, chapter 13, verse 1. When Ephraim spoke, trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. When he offended through Baal worship, he died. I don't know why I didn't mention this before, but probably should have mentioned it when the name Ephraim came up for the first time in this book. But sometimes the people of Ephraim refers to all of the people in the northern kingdom. But here, as it was in certain other spots in the book, here Hosea is specifically talking about the tribe of Ephraim. And if you think about the tribe of Ephraim, at this point in time, Ephraim exalted himself, it says in verse 1. You know the expression, I know Julian uses it all the time, he says, you know, that they're God's gift to women. Ephraim was like God's gift to the world. It says people trembled when they spoke. They were an important people. But we're reminded of what the word says about exalting oneself in the book of Matthew, where it says, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. I thought of Ray, you know, when he would mess with you, give you a hard time, saying, oh, you think you're all bad and stuff, huh? So, yes, Ephraim, they thought they were all bad. But see what they're continuing to do. They're worshiping Baal, another god, which results in their spiritual death and destruction. As it says, this is the offended through Baal worship, he died, referring to Ephraim. Now, if we're not careful, we can easily fall into the same trap. There can be a time when we're seeking the Lord, when we're attending church regularly, we're studying on our own daily, we're in prayer, we're blessed. And then what can happen? We can have a tendency to slack off. We maintain, we go into cruise control. If we had a Tesla, we'd be in self-driving mode. God's not in control anymore. We need to humble ourselves. So Ephraim was continuing in sin and the worship of their idols, and now they're kissing the calves, you know, the golden calves that they built for themselves, the idols that they made, they're kissing them. As we read verse 2, now they sin more and more and have made for themselves molded images, idols of their silver, according to their skill. All of it is the work of craftsmen. They say of them, let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves. So now they're kissing their idols that they made. This reminds me, if I can remember correctly, I don't know if it's a Filipino thing, Filipino Catholic thing or what, but there was this group that would have a Virgin Mary statue, and for one week at a time, you can have the privilege and the honor of having this group of people bring the Virgin Mary statue to your house. You set up a little altar in the living room or whatever, wherever you want. And you would spend a week. Doing rosaries. You can have people invited over to join you in praying the rosary. But you would have to do this daily. And I remember growing up, I hated it. I hated having to do it. I hated every part of it. I thought the whole thing was stupid. I wanted to continue playing outside with my friends. If you guys have never heard of this, I mean, I could probably talk a little bit more about it if you ask me in person. But basically, it was kind of like idol worship. And I can remember, I'm pretty sure some of the people that came over, they would actually kiss the statue somewhere. And so I was reminded of that, as this idol would go from house to house, whoever wanted. I don't know, but I would think that my parents would have paid money to this organization to have this privilege of having the Virgin Mary over. So what is it that people do sometimes? Sometimes people kiss their money. Sometimes they kiss their car. Sometimes if they're fans of celebrities, like crazy fanatics, like Michael Jackson or the Beatles or Brad Pitt, sometimes people can find themselves kissing photos of these people. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. If you think about what has happened here with Ephraim, this was like the beginning of all the different religions and cults around the world. It's man doing things their own way because they feel that doing it God's way is not enough or not the only true and right way. It's saying, you know, people throughout the ages have said, well, if I were God, I would blah, 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 fill in the blank. I would do this. I would do it that way. I would do it this way. I don't understand why God does it this way. I'm going to do it my own way. So what will happen? We read verse 3. Therefore, they shall be like the morning cloud and like the early dew that passes away, like chaff blown off from a threshing floor and like smoke from a chimney. This is another, Hosea referenced these types of things earlier in the book about, you know, the morning dew just vanishing, morning cloud, you know, the chaff just blowing away. So the people are going to end up like each of these things listed. They're basically going to disappear. Verse 4, yet I am the Lord your God, ever since the land of Egypt. And you shall know no God, excuse me, but me, for there is no Savior besides me. For I knew you in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. When they had pasture, verse 6, they were filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me. Now here we read about another sin they commit, ingratitude. But people are ungrateful. The Lord says, I have been the Lord your God since when you were in Egypt, and I brought you out. I took care of you when you were crossing that dry, arid desert. But in verse 6 it says, when they were filled, in other words, in their prosperity, they became proud and forgot the Lord. We can get sucked into that sometimes, can't we? We'll forget the Lord. Maybe we got a new house, or we got that new car that we've been kissing. We got to raise. Our eyes can move towards that stuff. Again, I say, humble thyself. One of the songs we sing at our church for worship, you know, you guys know the song Grateful. Came to my mind as I thought about this, thinking of the lyrics of the chorus. We sing, I give thanks for all you have done, and I will sing of your mercy and your love. Your love is unfailing, Lord, I am grateful. I give thanks for all you have done. I won't forget all the battles you have won. Your love is unfailing, Lord, I am grateful. I'm not quite sure why I shared that. I just thought of the song, just only because we're thinking about how the people were ungrateful, and they were forgetting the one who gave them all things. You know, part of my prayer is, you know, Lord, help our nation. You know, our nation has prospered for so long. You know, Lord, help us to turn to you and not forget you. Because right now, in our country, we're destroying ourselves. As we read in verses 7 through 9. Israel reaps what they have sown. And the Lord describes metaphorically what their destruction will be like as it goes through verse 13. Well, let's read 7 through 9. So, verse 7. So I will be to them like a lion, like a leopard by the road, I will lurk. I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. I will tear open their ribcage, and there I will devour them like a lion. The wild beasts shall tear them. Oh, verse 9, O Israel, you are destroyed, but your help is from me. One translation says here in verse 9, it says, you are destroyed because you are against me, against your helper. Verse 10, I will be your king. Where is any other that he may save you in all your cities and your judges to whom you said, give me a king and princes? I gave you a king in my anger, verse 11, and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is stored up. Verse 13, the sorrows of a woman in childbirth shall come upon him. He has an unwise son. For he should not stay long where children are born. In verse 13, God is saying they're going to feel pain, like the pain of a woman in childbirth. It says he is an unwise son, for he should not stay long where children are born. In other words, they're going to wish they had never been born. It's going to be so bad. Verse 14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your place. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. The Lord will have no pity on them. So what's going to happen? We read in the next two verses. Verse 15, though he is fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness. Then his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall plunder the treasury of every desirable prize. Samaria is held guilty, for she has rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and there are women with child ripped open. pretty graphic. Eh? Yikes. Well, as with some of the other chapters that we've studied in this book, they move pretty fast. So we're already here in chapter 14. This is the last chapter. And so we read in verse 1. Now keep in mind, this is, as we read it, this is Hosea speaking to the people. He's, you know, remember, he's the prophet. So he's speaking directly to the people, and he says, "O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity." Basically saying your sins have brought you down. Verse 2, take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him. So this is Hosea telling the people what to say to the Lord and asking him as they if they're going to come to a point of repentance, to say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. So Hosea is saying to the people, confess your sins to him. He's saying, come back to him. He's saying, ask him for forgiveness and for him to receive you and tell him that you'll worship him once again. And when he talks about, when he says, offer sacrifices of our lips, this speaks of singing praises to the Lord. Isn't it amazing how when we're singing praises to the Lord, we're thanking him in these songs for all that he's done in our lives? We're thanking him for being so good to us. We're thanking him for all the promises he's made. The praises that we sing, they rise straight to heaven like a sweet perfume to him, and he's pleased. He sees us, he hears our cries, he sees our hearts, and he's pleased. It's so awesome. Before I was saved, I could have never imagined that this is the true meaning and purpose of music in the churches. And who would have ever thought that I, along with my wife, would be using my gift of music for the purpose of blessing his people. It's so awesome. Verse 3, Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say anymore to the work of our hands, you are our gods. From the fatherless, for in you the fatherless finds mercy. So in these first few verses, 1 through 3, if the people take heed to what Hosea is saying, then God will heal and revive them. As it says in verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily. Verse 5, and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. Verse 6, his branches shall spread, his beauty shall be like an olive tree, and his fragrance like Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Verse 8, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with the idols? I have heard and observed him. I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. This verse, this verse reminds me of Pastor Bob's testimony. When he talks about how he ended up, I think it was like 97, he ended up in a backslidden state. He was caught up with the idols of money, his job. But he came back to the Lord. The Lord received him. He was healed of his backsliding. He was revived to live and do work for the Lord. And now is bearing much fruit as our pastor. That's pretty much sums up that verse right there. I read that verse and I thought, oh, that's like Pastor Bob's part of. I'm sure it's part of a lot of our testimony. We were ever in a backslidden state, and we were not in that state. We were not following the Lord. Of course, no possible way of producing fruit. But when you come back and you are back seeking the Lord and walking in His ways, we have the potential of now producing fruit. Verse 9, who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. As you can see, we come to the end. And as I've mentioned, you know, some of these chapters move very fast. But here we are at the end of this book. The very last thing that I was reminded of in studying this whole book is how the Lord was calling out the priests of the nation of Israel back in chapter 4. You can refer back to that if you want. But back in chapter 4, God is holding them, you know, the priests, the leaders of the people. He was holding them responsible for the people turning away from God. My brother and my sisters, may I exhort you. I know Julian doesn't have a problem with this, but may I exhort you to continue praying for our leaders, the leaders of our government, the leaders of your jobs, the leaders of households, and especially leaders of our church. Pray for us. How can you follow? How can anyone follow thinking about the American church or the body of believers around the world if the leaders aren't leading? And we know that the change that everyone is screaming about right now for our nation can only happen with a changing of hearts as we, the church, follow Christ. May we lead those in need of Jesus Christ to His throne.